T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Okay, we are back. Marks and Reese. Day after a series-ending win by the 76ers last night. But Joel Embiid and his injury is murky to where when he could be back. We'll get back into that coming up in a second. But the 76ers with a rare 2 days off in a row yesterday because of the rain out.
Like,
yes, what did I say? Sixers. But the Phillies, yes, off today. They're back tomorrow, back in town for a weekend series against the Nats. To discuss that and everything else is Ruben Amaro Jr. He joins us every Thursday. What's up, Rube?
John and Ike, what's happening, boys?
What's up, Rube?
How you doing?
Wait, so Ruben, you're a Philly sports fan. Losing Joel Embiid is obviously a huge blow. I don't know how you try to manage an injury. I don't know if he's going to come back in or not, but like, do you think they have enough without Embiid even to win this next series against the Hawks?
So I was really impressed by the way they went about their business last night. I got a chance to watch most of the game last night, and for them to step up, I mean, obviously they had a lot of juice because of the crowd and because they were home. It was an exciting time for them. But for them to play that well without him, that's a great boost for their confidence, I think, as a club. I think it's going to be tough to get too far without Joel Embiid. I mean, he's arguably the best player in the game, and he has such impact on the team. That said, I mean, they certainly can compete and contend. I just don't know how far they can go. There's the Bucks and the Nets. I mean, they're so good, so talented. It's hard to get past them without Embiid.
We've been talking about sort of Embiid and whether or not it's worth it to play him and risk further damaging that knee, or I don't know, somehow injuring another part of his body because he's compensating for that slight tear in his meniscus. As an organization, I'm just wondering from your standpoint, you've been in the front office, were there ever any like tough decisions you got to make about one of your key players like that and whether or not you rest him versus playing him, especially when you're at this critical point of the season?
I mean, we had those like almost daily. And there are guys who just really want to play and you want to throw them out there. And then there are other guys who are a lot more cautious. And I think you have to take all the information in. You have to talk to the doctors. You have to understand the player. You have to understand the long-term prognosis and how it may affect Joel's knee long-term, how it can, you know, mess up his kinetic chain, right? They talk about that all the time, how that can, as you talked about, how can that affect other parts of his body if he's overcompensating, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's just each person is and can handle different tolerances, and each person's anatomy is so different. It's literally like a fingerprint. And so you have to just, you know, go it case by case. And in the case of Joel Embiid, who's such a big man, and, you know, I mean, he's putting different stresses on his body, different than anybody in sports and the way he moves. You just have to be cautious with it and make sure that you make the right decision, not just short-term but long-term. The issue I have sometimes is, you know, people say, hey, just shut him down. You know, we'll come back next year and we'll be just as good and we'll win it again. And you know, the tough part about that is, to get back into the NBA Finals and to get back into this situation where you have this good of a team, I mean, who knows who else is going to get injured next year and that kind of stuff. It's a hard decision.
Mm. I agree, and I'm sure, and we've been anticipating this all year because they've been so good all year.
Yeah,
it does make it tough at this point of the year for an organization because I'm sure team hasn't won in, what, almost 30 years? The Sixers?
1983.
Man, I'm nervous, Ruben, that they come up against that sort of issue, and it's like, let's go for it now. And then he
tears a ligament in his knee.
Yeah, people talk about this. You know, you talk about the situation. I kind of like it to the Strasburg situation years ago when they shut him down. They only gave him a number of innings to pitch, and then all of a sudden they were contending, the Nationals, and they had never. And now, you know, they kind of shut him down, didn't pitch him at the end of the year. Yeah. And then, that's a tough situation to be in, man. You don't want to necessarily be in that position. You want to be able to utilize your best players. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you have to worry about the guy's long-term well-being.
Yep. We're talking to Ruben Amar Jr. How do you balance it from a management perspective, right? Because what we've seen previously with Joel is that if he wants to play, he's going to play. And at what point does management have to step in? And I'll actually go to Roy Halladay in his last year here. I mean, it looked like to everybody that was watching that he was laboring, his velocity was down. Like, how do you tell a player like Joel, like, hey, listen, we're not going to put you out there because you're risking your health? How do you balance that?
I think it's the decision of the GM or whoever whoever's running the organization. That person has to step in and say, you know what, this is what we're going to do. It is my decision. I've talked to the medical people. This is science. This is not about your fortitude or your want to and that kind of stuff. And I'm taking this decision out of your hands. This is my decision, and I need to preserve it for you and for the good of the organization. That's as simple as that.
Mm. All right, over to the Phillies. Ruben, do you agree or do you buy that one game where everybody goes off can be a fire starter to get the team going, for the rest of the season? 17-3, everything went right through the sixth inning on in their last game against the Reds. Do you buy that, or do you look at it and say that's just one game and it doesn't change what this team is?
So I think that there are times in a season when there are certain games or certain streaks that you go through that can catapult a team. And there have been times already this year where the team has made a great comeback win, or they bounced back from a real difficult loss and won a big game that you thought, or they got into a fight, and you would think that would propel this club forward. Unfortunately, it has not happened. You hope that a game like that just happened in the 17-run game where they were swinging the bats pretty aggressively would do that. The issue is now they got 2 days off right after the game. They couldn't build on the momentum. And so you get two days off because of the rain and then the off day, and that kind of kills your momentum a little bit. It does help guys' psyche. I think Alec Bohm was good for. I think there was a couple of guys who've been struggling. Torres got a big hit, got things going. And he's been playing okay, but guys like Alec Bohm and maybe McCutchen, who have been struggling, maybe that catapults them a little bit. My issue remains the same with the team, is that I don't know that even though they played a great defensive game that game, and I think that was the biggest part of the game than the home runs for me, for someone who looks at like different parts of the game. The fact that they played the defense as well as they did, that was the big one for me, and I hope that helps catapult their defense because that's going to be a long-term issue for them.
Mm. Ruben, at what point, we don't want to have the should this Philly sell show, but they have a really, really tough stretch coming up. They go out west. They're facing the Yankees. I mean, at what point do you start looking at the big picture and looking at this situation with the Phillies and say, all right, I got to start looking and maybe you're selling off some pieces?
Well, if they drop down to like 8 or 10 games below 500, then they're selling, as far as I'm concerned, because they haven't up until this time shown that they can really play the level of baseball that's necessary to be a contender. Now, they have hung in there pretty well under the circumstances, but if they drop any further down as far as games over 500, games below 500, they get to 8 to 10. And I just don't think that they have the firepower and they don't have the overall talent to be able to surpass, some of the other teams. And even if they get lucky enough and go crazy and go streaking, I just don't know that they have the guns to be able to surpass some of the other teams in this division. And now the Mets are starting to play better and they're getting healthier and they're going to be a little scarier if they do get healthy. And Atlanta, I think, is going to be a little bit better ball club as they move forward, even though they've dealt with a lot of injuries and stuff. But I just have a concern that if they drop to 8 or 10 games below 500, they got to be a sell.
Could Rhys Hoskins be a guy that he's going to start making more money? He's obviously productive in the power department, and you look at a guy like Alec Bohm, who, you know, listen, he's trying his best over there at third base, but with the uncertainty of the DH in the National League, I don't know if you can put him back at third next year. Is he a guy that you could see Dave Dombrowski talking about moving?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Dave Dombrowski's done it all. He's sold, he's bought, he's been on every end of every spectrum, and he's done them all well. And so he has the experience of having done all this. I think that he's going to try to make the best assessments. He's going to try to utilize his assets as well as he possibly can. He has a great understanding of what it is that he needs to keep and what it is that he needs to maybe move to try to improve for later on. I don't know that the team can go through another total rebuild. I think that they can do another retool and to try to contend next year, because, again, you're not looking at any powerhouses in the league or in the division. And so I just think that David Dombrowski has the experience to have done that. And if they do have to do the selling or retooling, I think that he's, you know, fully equipped to be able to do that.
All right, there you have it. Ruben, what's your prediction on the Sixers series?
Wow. I think that they're going to win. I think that we're going to get Embiid back. I think it's going to take 6 games.
There you go. Sixers in 6, Ike.
Sixers in 6.
Ike said the same thing earlier.
That's what I got. That's what I got.
I like it.
Rue, appreciate it.
Of course, I'm not very good at predicting stuff. I can't even predict baseball stuff, as you well know.
Try with basketball. Thanks, Rube.
Appreciate it, brother.
All right, guys, be well.
Oh, there he is, Ruben Amaro Jr. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if at the end of this month, if they are 10 games under 500, sell.
Yeah.
But at the same time, are you selling? What are you selling, and what does that mean for your team next year? Because JT Realmuto and Bryce Harper, I mean, you have these guys, so you can be a team that's now retooling again. It's a tough situation.
Yeah, it'd be very hard to do. You'd have to be pretty crafty to sell and still keep a team that is somehow in a position to be competitive next year. Right? Are you really trying to see? The problem is you're still going to have Didi under contract. You still got McCutcheon under contract. You got Segura under contract. You obviously got Harper and Realmuto under contract for next year. Like, what are we selling? Baum is a player that we want to keep. Like, what are we selling?
It's tough. If you're not competitive this year, how are you going to be competitive next year? Like,
right.
You don't have a lot of wiggle room.
No, and because of the contract situation, I named those players. If you're fortunate enough to find somebody that thinks one of these guys like Segura could actually help them, they are doing you a favor by taking on that salary. So what are you getting back in return?
Probably not a lot.
That's worth anything.
Yeah, probably not a lot. You're getting contract. You're getting salary relief.
Right.
I think, is McCutcheon a free agent after this year?
Yes. I thought he had one more.
No, this is it.
This is his last year. Okay. Well, that's good.
So you could move on from that, but now who's playing left field for you?
Alec Bohm?
No, I don't want Bohm in their left field. But like that, but now you have to replace him, right?
Yeah.
And McCutcheon's hasn't been great this year, but still, I mean, he's got some power to his bat. So, all right, 215-592-9494. Let's get back to the 76ers phones with Bruce in D.C. Bruce, how you doing?
Mark Therese, what's going on? Hey, hit me with some of that Ike juice.
Oh, yeah.
They must have been drinking that Ike juice. Ike juice, Ike juice. Holla.
That's what I'm talking. Hey, Mark, so are you familiar with, you know who Paul Moody is, right?
Yes.
The comedian?
Yes, I know Paul Moody.
All right, so, hey, look, you just called me Negro Domus from my phone call yesterday.
You can say that.
You
can't.
You know, I called it. I said, hey, if he uses Ben at the center position and the bench play comes out pretty good, they're going to win that game. So that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm. You can be the coach, Bruce.
Hey, maybe. I'll take an assistant position. Why not? But, you know, moving forward, I think that actually the Sixers can take it in 5. I think the critical thing, you know, if you look at last night, one thing about Ben, and and I've been a really strong critic of him. But moving him in that center position really put him on the spot to produce, and that's exactly what I wanted to see, and that's exactly what happened. I think that him and the combination of him, whenever him and Thibault on the floor at the same time, they are a deadly combination because Ben can drift out of the center position. He can defend on the wing when they do switches. And Atlanta, you know, they're a perimeter-based team, and I think Philly's length and the ability to defend and score is going to be a big difference in the next series.
Man, so you think in five. I'm probably going to go seven. This is a grinded out. We have home court advantage, and that's how we're winning it. Atlanta, okay. Listen, you can look at Atlanta's roster and the Sixers roster without Joel Embiid. I mean,
right.
There's a case to be made that you might rather have their roster than the 76ers.
Well, yeah, but the problem with Atlanta is that they don't have good defensive fundamentals. And I think the critical thing here is that we're a solid defensive fund. It's going to wear them down. Trey is going to have to work hard for those points.
Yeah, he always does.
The problem is that New York was able to do that, but they couldn't score. They don't have they got one-ups. And so you can go after Harris, but then you got other players that can fill those gaps and be able to score. Then I think that's the reason why Atlanta is going to struggle. And I think that the Sixers are going to take at least one game down there. But if they lose that game, if they don't win in five, the series, I'm with you. It's going to go seven because I just don't think they're going to pull another one out in Atlanta at six. Mm. So it's either five or seven.
All right, Bruce. All right, two. Appreciate it, Bruce. Five or seven. We need is Hugh down in Atlanta all hawked up?
All hawked up. Oh yeah, they're hawked up down there.
Yep.
Does he have a basketball team? I guess
the Hawks, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope he's rooting for him.
Anybody.
He does. Yeah,
he works down there.
He can't use the Eagles.
His loyalty to the Eagles is because he played for the Eagles. He didn't play for the Sixers.
No.
Right, but you became a Sixers fan.
I work here.
Hugh worked here for a little bit.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure it wouldn't do him any good or his ratings any good if he was everything Philadelphia.
Yeah, no, he can't do. He can get away with the Eagles stuff.
Right,
he played
exactly.
for the Eagles.
Yeah. He barely gets away with that.
No, he kind of needs the roof for that. Even if in the back of his head, he likes to see the Sixers do well because he was here for so long.
Listen, I've known Hugh for over 20 years. He ain't that big of a basketball fan.
No.
No, and so he's not about to be going diehard anybody over anything. No.
All right.
I mean, it's a good Philadelphia-Atlanta thing. We always seem to have something tied in with the ATL. Falcons and the Eagles seem to play every year.
Yeah, what is that?
Or every other year, at least. Got the Braves and the Phillies in the same division. And a rarity, the Hawks and the Sixers in the playoffs.
Thrashers and the Flyers when they played down there, Thrashers?
How many times have the Hawks and the Sixers met in the playoffs?
I can't remember any.
Right? Did we face Dominique?
I don't remember. The Sixers and the Hawks were similar in their success during that period because you had Charles here, and they were a playoff team, but they never got to a conference finals or anything like that. The Hawks, I don't think that maybe they got to a conference finals, but not much more than that.
No, the biggest Hawks memory from those 80s teams was the matchup, the duel between Bird and Dominique. Like that's
man.
And Bird had guaranteed after winning game six in Atlanta. They were down in that series, I believe. They won game six. Hawks had a chance to eliminate it. I remember Larry Bird guaranteeing a win Sunday in the Boston Gardens in game seven. And he and Dominique had an epic battle.
Both scored over 50, I think.
Over 40, something like that. Yeah, it was an epic battle.
Yeah, you had Dominique. Willis. Why am I blanking on his first name? Not James. I'm saying James Willis. Kevin Willis,
yeah.
John Contract, who was on some of those teams.
Yeah.
And you had the dueling guards. You had Doc.
Doc
Spud
was the starting guard. Doc was the starting point guard.
Randy Whitman was on some of those teams.
Yeah. Tree Rollins. Cliff Levingston.
Yeah, Chris Levingston.
All those dudes, man.
So the Sixers and the Hawks have met seven times total in the seven games in the playoffs in their history.
So that's basically one series. Or either two.
So in 1982, no, it was. In 1982, it was a best of three, I suppose.
Ah.
The Sixers swept them 2-0.
Oh, wow.
1980, it was a five-game series. They won 4-1. So I guess that was the Eastern Conference semifinal. So the first round back then was a best of three.
Best of five.
Best of three. Because they won 2-0.
I wasn't watching.
I don't remember that either.
Yeah, I don't remember best of three.
I remember best of five because the Sixers actually, after they won the championship, lost to the Nets 3-2.
Oh yeah,
following year 1984.
I mean, I think it was a best of five up until
recently,
mid '90s or late '90s. Yeah,
I think semi recently.
They may have went back and forth to it, but yeah, they have switched it from a best of five to best of seven in the first round.
The Sixers are 6-1 lifetime against the Hawks in their playoff history.
There you go.
I don't know if that matters.
Which history.
That matters 40 years later. but like that's the. This is going to be cool because the Hawks, it doesn't seem like. When was the last time the Hawks had real success? They had that 1 year.
And they got bounced.
And they got bounced right away.
Yeah, at Horford. And their whole starting five was named Player of the Month. It was nauseating.
Yeah. Yep.
Korver was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Korver had that.
That was the Budenholzer team.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then they got
Spurs
bounced.
Spurs East. Yeah, it was annoying. You could tell they were never going to do anything in the playoffs.
No, you could tell. No, you're right. You could tell. You could be like, all these wins, they're going to get bounced in the playoffs, and they did.
Number one seed.
Yep. That's right. They were the number one seed. 215-592-9494. Marks and Reese. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to your phone calls on the other side. Stay tuned. Also, so Ben was feeling pretty good after last night's game. He had a very interesting Instagram post after the game. What did he say? We'll get into that coming up next. A lot of phone calls in the 4 o'clock hour. We have In the Envelope coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Don't go anywhere. It's Marks and Reese on 94WIP. Let's talk about betting for a second with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. You know, it's a great time to get in with the one-game parlay at BetMGM. One-game parlay is an exciting feature designed to help you make selections within a single game from over 400 bet types, including team and player props. So you log into your BetMGM account, create a parlay of your dreams before the game starts. One-game parlay is the fast and easy way to make your same game win, total, and prop picks. And if you're new to BetMGM, sign up today. Make your first bet risk-free up to $600. That's right, up to $600. Just use my bonus code. It's Marks, M-A-R-K-S, 600. You can make one-game parlay bets on the Stanley Cup playoffs, baseball, and your favorite soccer leagues. Log in or download the BetMGM app and place a one-game parlay today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.